Welcome to Divine Inspiration by Dontisha James. Today we're going to talk about the Armor of God, Session 7, the Sword of the Spirit. The Armor of God, Session 7, the Sword of the Spirit. We're going to go into the Word of God. We're going to go into Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to go down to verse 17. And the Word of God says this, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, and it says, "Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." And so we remember the topic is the sword of the Spirit. A bronze dagger, daggers and swords were common weapons in the Bible times. A sword was a piercing of or cutting weapon with which a warrior might stab or slash an enemy. Some swords were designed to pierce others to slash. All swords had two parts, a handle and a blade. Swords were the basic weapon of a Hebrew soldier. The biblical phrase that identifies a man as a soldier was that he drew the sword. And it is the only sword weapon. And so the sword of the Spirit is our offensive weapon in spiritual warfare. Let me say this sentence again. The sword of the Spirit is our offensive weapon in spiritual warfare. Remember, the sword is the Word of God. That's why it's so important for us to know the Word of God, because it's a sword for believers to fight back against Satan. So Satan will make every effort to undermine or destroy our confidence in that sword, which is the Word of God. Satan is our greatest enemy. As Christians, we must be aware that we are engaged in a spiritual warfare with unseen but very real power of evil. So let's go back into the Word of God. I want to go into Matthew chapter 4, and I want to read verse 1 through 4. And the Word of God says this, "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, 'If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread.' Jesus answered, 'It is written, man should not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" And so the temptations of Jesus by Satan was an attempt to entice Jesus from the pathway of a perfect obedience to the will of God. Notice that each temptation, Jesus submitted himself to authority of the Word of God rather than to the desires of Satan. Number two, what can we learn from the temptations of Christ? And for me, I learned that to defeat the devil, I will have to use the sword, which is the Word of God. And you should understand, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to use the sword, which is the Word of God. Without the Holy Spirit, the proper use of God's word, the Christians cannot overcome sin and temptation. And so we need the Holy Spirit. And how do we get the Holy Spirit? Because God gives it to us. He says he's going to give it to his children. We got to draw close to God, not close to religious rituals, not close to the service that we do. No. We got to have a relationship with God Almighty through Jesus Christ so we can get the Holy Spirit to help us fight back against the enemy. Let's keep going on. So how to use God's word, which is the sword of the Spirit. Realize that through the word, you have the power to resist any appeal Satan can make. Engraft, memorize the word of God into your heart and mind. In James chapter 1, verse 21, the word of God says this, "Therefore, get rid of all moral filth in the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you." And so we should meditate day and night on the verses and study the word and memorize the word. We can memorize songs that we like. We can memorize a quote that somebody said, or somebody we're looking up to. We can memorize them people. We need to learn how to memorize the word of God. Yes, the word of God. Remember, the word of God is our sword. And so what do you get out of the scriptures of Psalms 1:2? Let's look at this. Let's look at Psalm 1:2. What do we get out of the scriptures of Psalms 1:2? Let's go into the word of God. In chapter 1, verse 2, it says this, "But whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night?" So we should delight in the Lord and get in his word day and night. to get his word in us to defeat the enemy. We cannot defeat the enemy without God's word. God's word is sharper than a two-edged sword. What you got to believe it, because if you want to win the battle, if you want to overcome the obstacles that you're going through, you got to have the word of God within you. That's why Jesus said we cannot live on bread alone. So let's go back into Matthew chapter 4, and I'm going to read verse 8 through 11. And this is what the word of God says. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in the splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. And Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him and the angels came and attended to him. And so Satan tempted Jesus with the offer of dominion over all the kingdoms of the world. A proposal that Jesus rejects the kingdom of Jesus in this age is not a kingdom of this world. Remember that. God's kingdom is not a kingdom of this world. That's why God wants us to be separated from the world in the habits of the world, because the habits of the world and doing the things of the world is a part of Satan's dominion. And so for us as God's children, we got to be separated as God was separated. Doesn't mean that we are better than the people of the world. No. We just drafted towards God, and God has pulled us out of darkness into his marvelous light. So we are chasing after him. We are hungry and thirsty after him. We are crying out to our Father. We are asking him to intercede for us. So that's the reason why we as believers, it's a cost for us, because we come out of our old habits and we move towards our new habits in Christ Jesus. Let's keep going on. And so to seek a kingdom for himself by the worldly methods of compromising, earthly power, political maneuvering, external violence, popularity, honor and glory. Jesus' kingdom is a spiritual kingdom ruling in the hearts of his people. You hear that? Jesus' kingdom is a spiritual kingdom ruling in the hearts of his people. And so if you are believing, I'm a believer in Christ Jesus, he is ruling in our heart and with Christ Jesus. His spirit lives inside of us, of his people, and who have been taken out of the kingdom of the world. So that's why it's so important for us as children of God to not copy the behaviors and custom of the world, but we need to renew our mind in the word of God, and we need to continue to build a relationship with him. Don't get so caught up with the religious rituals, because that's not what's going to save us. What's going to save us is getting a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let him know, well, he says to us, well done, my good and faithful servant, because it's his spirit that lives in us to help us be obedient. It is his spirit in us to help us turn from our wicked way. It is his spirit to help us defeat the devil. It is his spirit that lives inside of us. His spirit is much stronger than our own desires. Let's keep going on. And so should all Christians use the sword of the spirit? Should all Christians use the sword of the spirit? Let's look at this. As the sword of the spirit, a living and active weapon used to fight against sin and help us grow closer to God. And so, yes, we should use the sword of the spirit. The sword is alive and active and sharper than any sword we can imagine. It divides souls and spirit, and it can judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The word of God is an offensive weapon used in a spiritual warfare against the devil and demons and their schemes. And so look at this. Jesus came to earth to destroy the works of Satan. Did you know that Jesus came to this earth to destroy the works of Satan? In 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, it says this: the one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. That's the reason why he appears, for he can take the keys back from Satan to let him know, you don't have no dominion. I am God. I am the Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning and the end. There ain't no God like me. I am the living God. And yes, I came back on your earth, your dominion, and took my keys back and gave my children back. So it's our responsibilities as God's children to follow him. Not the world, not our flesh desires, not what we want, not leaning on our own understanding, but we got to stand by his morale standards. What is his morale standard? It is in his word of God, and his spirit that lives in us helps us do what God needs for us to do, to keep it moving, to be obedient. Okay, let's keep going on. So to establish the kingdom of God and deliver us from Satan's dominion by his death, in resurrection, Christ's initiative, the defeat of Satan, and ensure God's ultimate victory over him. At the end of the age, Satan is to be confined to the ambassador of 1,000 years, in which you can go into Revelation chapter 20, verse 1 through 3, and read it too and study. After his release, he will make a final attempt to overthrow God. This will result in Satan's final defeat and his being thrown into the lake of fire of hell. You hear that? It is going to be a result of Satan's the final defeat that he's going to be thrown in the lake of fire of hell. And not just him. Not just him. Every person who rejects God, every person who do not believe in God, the unbelievers, every person who does not follow the Lord, and he said, I never knew you, will go to the lake of fire of hell. God has not changed and God will not change. Can I get an amen on that? God said in his word that he's still the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. I'm going to go ahead and say amen. Amen, amen. Okay, so let's keep going on. What must we do as believers to protect ourselves from Satan? Believers must pray consistently for deliverance from Satan, be on alert concerning his schemes and temptations, and resist Satan through spiritual warfare. That's why it's so important for us to pray. And you know what's so sad is that Christians lack in prayers. They don't understand the importance of unity. Unity helps us defeat the devil. If the Bible say one can bring down 1,000 and two can bring down 10,000, if we come together, all Christianity, my God, we will turn this nation up with all this darkness and demonic spirits. But what we get so caught up is denominations and I believe this and they don't believe that. No. When we go up to home to the kingdom of God in heaven, there's no denomination. We're going to be serving one God, one living God. We're going to bow down to him. We're going to worship him and we're going to do what he say. It's not, they are on unity. Like the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit is one. Unity, 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 unity is how we crush the enemy. And we get so caught up, my God, we get so caught up with other things, and what we're missing is praying. Praying, praying, praying. The Bible does not tell us stop praying. He said pray in season and out of season. That's another weapon that we're going to be talking about. But prayer is one of our weapons. And we come together as a unity in the body of Christ to fight back against one enemy, which is Satan. Oh, my God. Not fight against each other. The part about forgiving. We got to forgive for we won't be in bitter. We won't be in hate. We won't be in anger. We don't want to be like the world. And so we got to forgive people who hurt us. But it's just so sad. So many believers are still on baby milk. They're not mature. They still on baby milk. So when they get offended or get corrected, they still angry and they still bitter and they don't forgive because they still on baby milk. But when you're a child of the Most High God and you are mature, you learn how to forgive that love, that forgive that brother and sister and want to keep it moving. But sometimes the reason why they got to get cut off is because they still in bitterness. They still in anger and they don't understand forgiveness is the key to keep moving in the kingdom of God. And so God cuts them off. And God's children who was anointed to do his job will keep it moving, regardless if that person with them or they not with them. But forgiveness is the key for the believers so we can continue to keep it moving in prayer, in unity, and be on one accord about our Father's business. Oh, my God. Let's keep going on as I wrap it up. So while remaining in our faith in Jesus Christ, let's go into 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And then I'm going to go down to verse 21. And I want to read the word of God. And it says this, for prophecy never had its original in the human will. But prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And so the men of God spoke and wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Believers must maintain a strong, uncompromised view of the Holy Scriptures as inspired, and given directly by God. It is the only way to be true to what Jesus Christ, the apostles in the Bible itself teaches about scriptures. Let's go into Psalms chapter 119, and I want to read verse 1. Psalms chapter 119, verse 1, and the word of God says this, blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. The psalm expresses a majestic love for God's written word. It deals with the word as a promise, commandment, guide, testimony, teaching, wisdom, truth, righteousness, and reproof. If it is presented as the psalmist's comfort, protection, treasure, rule for life, delight to his heart, and soul, resources for all his needs, he teaches us that we will grow in grace and righteousness only as love for the word of God, which is the sword of the spirit, increase in us. God promises to pour out his blessings on those who have chosen to live by his word with all standards and directions. They will have his personal presence, bringing them strength, help, and protection. So remember, the sword of the spirit is the word of God, and we need the word of God to continue to grow in God and know who our Father is and to be able to defeat the enemy. Thank you so much for listening to Divine Inspiration. God bless you. Bye. Bye.